free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon this evening, the book of the Songs of Solomon. And if your pages are a little stuck together there, if you can find Psalms and head north, you'll bump right into it. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And I want to give you some thoughts here that the Lord's put on my heart in the past week. And I was telling Brother Sean a minute ago that every song, the Lord's just put it all together. And just trying to remind us about how good He is and how worth serving He really is. And I'm thankful for that. And, you know, it doesn't always have to go like that. But when the Lord puts together a service for you, it sure does make you thankful. And so we're thankful for that. The book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. I want to read here a few verses, if you'll stand here with me. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 2. The Bible says this, chapter number 5, verse 2. It said, I sleep, and this is the bride talking. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drop of the night. And here's her response. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put it in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask him to meet with us tonight. Lord, we sure do love you. We're so thankful for you bringing us here, Lord, to your house, Lord, to sit around your word, Lord, and hear what you'd have to say to us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening, Lord, the way that you spoke to mine from this passage. God, I pray that you would use us tonight to be a vessel of honor for you. I pray that we'd leave, Lord, with a renewed urgency to serve you and to love you and to live for you. We'll thank you for it, and we ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And when you think about the book of the Song of Solomon, it's a little bit of an unusual book, you would have to agree. And it's a lot of times a looked over book. And it's one that we kind of, our pages are stuck together on. We don't really pay a lot of attention to what's taking place in this story. But I would be here to tell you tonight, the Bible said every word of God is pure. The Bible said the word of the Lord is given as a light for our feet and a lamp for our path. So it must be this portion of the Bible is just as holy and is just as inspired as every other portion of our Bible. It's a life story, and I think we can draw some things from it, and it is a literal story. There are many who would have you to think that this is an analogy and that it's all figurative, but I believe with all my heart that this is an exact story of Solomon and his encounters with this Shulamite woman, but it is a love story, and when you look at this book, there's nothing more and nothing less than the love story of the Song of Solomon. It describes the story of a wise king who is smitten with a young country girl. It details their relationship from the beginning to the end, and the reason why it's so important is because it is a picture of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved and we get born again, we are put into the bride of Christ, and one of these days, we're headed to a feast and we're headed to a marriage supper, to a place where we'll be united with our Lord and with our husband, and this is a wonderful picture of our relationship here on earth with Him. And so as we think about this, I want you to think with me about the courtship in the first few chapters as Solomon is trying to woo her and to win her heart. And it reminds me of when the Lord came to me and that conviction that came to us and how He began to woo you and draw you to an altar. And the Bible said that He drew us with the cords of love. And I'm thankful for the time in my life when I was lost and I was on my way to hell, but God came to me and He began to woo me and He began to work on my heart and to warm me over. And it didn't happen instantly, but He kept on coming and He kept on speaking to me. The Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And I'm thankful for the time in my life when God began to work on me and to draw me in because He wanted to be in fellowship with me. And that's exactly what you'll find in the Song of Solomon. Solomon attempts to win her heart, but she realizes she's not worthy of him at all. She says here in chapter number 1 and verse number 5, she said, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. She said, "Look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept." And what this tells us is that she was a working girl. She'd been out in the field and in the vineyard. She was just a poor, commonplace, average girl who was out there trying to make a living with her family. But when Solomon came, he didn't look at any of that. And he was able to look past all of her circumstances. He was able to look past her condition and look past what she looked like and see a beauty that no one else could see. And man, I'm thankful for the time when God came to me, when I was nothing, when I was nobody, when I was average, when I was commonplace, when there was no beauty on the outside. He could see something that nobody else could see, and he began to woo me to his side. And so Solomon here begins to work on her and to win her to his side, the courtship. And you'll find in the next chapter, in chapter 2, you'll find the companionship. As they begin to spend time together, they go to a banquet, the Bible said. The Bible said that she sat down under a shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. She said, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." And man, he begins to bring her. They're going out to enjoy a meal together. And then he comes, and the Bible said in chapter 2, verse 8, that there's been a separation. But the Bible said, "The voice of my beloved." And man, she doesn't give us any background. She doesn't give us any context. But she said, "Hey, there's one thing that's important about this encounter, and it was his voice. I heard the voice of Solomon." She said, "Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping up on the hills." And in chapter 10, he said, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And man, I'm thankful for the times in my life, even after I got saved, that God began to come to him, and he wasn't happy with me being by myself. But he wanted to take me to a new place, to that higher ground, to lead me on to a greater place of fellowship with him. And that's exactly what they are doing. He said, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." The companionship. Then I want you to notice with me the consummation. In chapter 3, we find that they get married. They have a wedding feast. The Bible said in chapter 3 and verse 10, you remember, she's this lonely country girl who doesn't know anything of the royalty of Solomon. But in chapter 3 and verse 6, she says, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel." And he begins to come forth, and he's coming to claim his bride. He comes and he gets her, and they have the marriage feast and the marriage supper. And it brings us up to our place here in chapter number 5. They are beginning their life as a married couple. I want you to notice with me in chapter 5 the scene that we read here. Because we have shifted from a marriage feast to the first scene after they have gotten married. And look what it is in chapter 5, verse 2. We read it earlier. She said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drop of the night." The scene has shifted from a honeymoon to a home. And some time appears to have elapsed, and for whatever reason, the Shulamite is at home alone. And when we consider that chapter 6 tells us that Solomon has 60 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number, this should be no surprise. And Solomon is come to pay a visit to his bride. Notice with me the scene. But I noticed the slumber, as the Bible said, that she was asleep. And our scene is taking place at night while she is in the bed asleep. But then the surprise here is that it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. She is surprised and immediately recognizes his voice. There's something special about his voice she could grab a hold of. And I'm glad there's something special about his voice. She was asleep, preacher, in the middle of the night. And somebody woke her up and she instantly knew, hey, that's my beloved. And I'm thankful for the times in the middle of the night when God's voice is so real and it's so clear that there is no confusing. The old McCamey song, when he said, when he speaks, that I know his voice. And I'm thankful that I can know his voice. The surprise here is that someone is at her door begging to come in. The visitor is our king, Solomon. And this voice, but the vitality of what he asks, he needs to come in because it is the middle of the night and his head is filled with dew. And the Bible said that his locks with the drop of the night. Look at what he did here. He requested to come in. He said, "Open to me, my sister." But not only that, he reveals in verse number 4, the Bible said, "My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him." So, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, they tell us that in Bible days, that the doors would have holes in them to where you could insert a key which would open the door of the abode. And they tell us that those keys would be huge and they would be very thick and very wide to where someone could easily stick their hand into that hole that the key would go into. And Solomon sticks his hand in that hole, and we don't know why he did it. Maybe it was to try to open the door, and he found it locked. We don't know why, but we do know that he is very interested in coming to see his bride. He wants to be with her, and he reveals himself to her. And then he retreats. The Bible said here in verse number 6 that I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And look at her, look at what her reaction to this. She said, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I think that's some of the saddest words that could ever be spoken. I sought him, but I could not find him. Not only that, she said, I called him, but he gave me no answer. When he came, when she spurned him and she turned him away, he was gone, just like that. He has retreated. She seeks him, but she cannot find him, and he is gone entirely. And I thought about this, preacher. There's a void in this story. Really, if you think about what should have happened in this story and what really happened, there's some things missing. What should have been found is a tale of harmony and happiness, a story in which the bridegroom is always welcome, no matter the time or the trouble. But instead, we find that she has deferred him. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? The Bible said in verse 3, she says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? She defers. Instead of instantly bidding to do his call, she puts off her motive with flimsy little excuses. She is manufacturing and making issues out of trivial things because her heart does not want to rise. She would have to dress and she would have to cleanse herself again. And so she says, you know, she said, it's a little too much trouble for you to come right now, Solomon. I wonder how many times I've done that to the Lord and been guilty of just saying, yeah, it's a little too much trouble right now, Lord, to talk with you. Yeah. She defers him, and then she decides. The Bible said that when he put his hand in by the door, that her bowels were moved for him. She begins to remember him, and that moves her, and it stirs her heart. And so the Bible said in verse 5 that I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. And I want to stop there and talk about that. They tell us that when a bride went to make herself ready for her husband, that what she would do is take the sweetest smelling myrrh that she could find and place it on the back of her hands where it would be an attractive aroma to him and where it would be pleasing to him. And so that's what she's done. She's gotten up and she's put that myrrh upon her hands, the sweet smelling myrrh. She's taken time for him. But when she came to him and opened the door, he was gone.
Yeah.
He had disappeared. And as she begins to despair here, it's led to great sorrow. As the Bible said that her soul failed. She sought him, but she could not find him. She called, and he gave no answer. Because of her hesitation, because of her detour, her beloved is gone.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that God refuses to work on our timetable. When he comes to see us, hey, we better drop everything we're doing and come to spend time with him because he may not be there forever.
Yes.
It led to sorrow. It led to smiting and to shame. And she runs out into the city in the middle of the night by herself trying to find him. And the priest there that kept the city thought she was a woman of the night, and they misused her and abused her. It's led to smiting and to shame, but it's led to sickness. There's a phrase in verse number 8 that I want you to notice. The Bible said in verse 8, she said, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am sick of love.
Yeah.
That's an interesting statement. She tells them that I am sick of love. This is a strong statement in any time, but turn back with me one more time to chapter 2 and verse number 5. Because in chapter 2 and verse 5, she says this, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. She makes that same statement, but it's in a much different context. That word sick just means weak and worn out and rubbed down. And she said, at this time in her life, she is so full of Solomon's love that she could not handle anymore. It is weakening her, man. She is just to the point where nothing else matters but Solomon and his love. And she said, I can't handle anymore right now. That's the context of chapter 2. But when you get to chapter 5, that verse that we read, it's an entirely different context, period. The Bible said that you tell him that I am sick of love. See, before she couldn't handle any more of his love, but now she can't find him. She's went to the point where she couldn't go any higher. There wasn't any higher ground to find. And now she's wishing desperately with everything that she has that she could find him again. She has spurned him, and he has spurned her. Now I want to give you just a couple thoughts on this subject, on losing our love for the Lord. On losing our love for the Lord. Because until you get to chapter 5, I don't think you could convince anybody here that there would ever be a time when she would turn her back on Solomon. And I don't think you could convince anybody that she would ever lose her love for Solomon after the depths of his love that she found there. But here, She spurned him. And she is desperate to find Solomon again. And how many times is it in our life that we come from a mountaintop experience with God? God is so close and God is so real. It seems like we couldn't handle any more of His blessing. And right after that, we are tempted with most wicked and vile sin and find ourselves out of fellowship with Him just like that. We've lost our love for the Lord. And I want to give you just a couple thoughts this evening on losing our love for the Lord. I want you to think about, number one, the reality of it. Because if this woman could lose her love for Solomon, I guarantee any one of us could lose our love for the Lord. What makes it so painful is when you think about the wooing. All that time that they spent together, loving on each other, complimenting each other, the wait that they had until he came to get her, the wedding. We go from their honeymoon in chapter 5 and verse 1 to the home where she has rejected him in chapter 5 and verse 2. If there's anything we thought we would have found, it would not be in her turning her back on Solomon. They go from that to now, he is called and she did not answer. Look at what verse 2 said. He said, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." And what you'll find is that every time in this book, up until this place, that one of them compliments the other, it's returned, Brother Grant. Over and over again, he would compliment her and she would compliment him. But when she responds, there's nothing in that at all. Yep. She just says, "I've put off my coat." She had come to the point where his love for her didn't mean anything anymore. He addresses her kindly and sweetly, and she does not even acknowledge it. Something has happened in her heart to where even him being kind to her is nothing anymore at all. And I'll tell you what, a sign of us losing our love for the Lord is when he comes to us and when he speaks to us and he's so kind to us, it means nothing at all. The reality is that she can go from all those chapters of loving on him to this point, she doesn't even answer him. She just moves on and acts like he did nothing for her at all. His words do not stir her at all. And I wonder, do Christ's words still stir me? Do what Christ have to say in this blessed book that he gave me, does it still stir me? And if it doesn't, that's a sure sign that I begin to lose my love for the Lord. When he called, she did not answer. When he explained, she did not care. He said, "My head is filled with dew and my locks with the drop of the night." Brother Sam, she doesn't get up and get him a towel. She doesn't offer him a place by the fire. She just said, "Boy, that's a lot of trouble for me to have to get up right now." She is a whole lot more worried about her comfort than his condition. He can be wet and cold, and it doesn't even bother. And I wonder how many times we spurn and reject the Lord, and we've come to the place where it just doesn't even bother us anymore. He speaks kindly to us, and we can let it go by. And when he asks for something, it doesn't really mean anything anymore. When she explained, he did not care. When he asked, she did not give. He said, "Open to me, my sister, my love." Everything in this book up to this point he's asked for, she's given him. Everything she has asked for, he's given her. But at this time and at this place, she's come to the point where he can ask for something. She won't even give it to him. How amazing is it that God has saved us? God brought us out of the depths of hell. He set our feet on a miry, out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and established our going, put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. And when he asks for something, I withhold it and I withdraw. It's a sure sign that I'm losing my love for the Lord. All he wanted her to do was to rise and to open the door because he was on the outside in the cold and she couldn't even do that. I think that is even more tragic when you think about the previous chapter. In chapter 4, he's talking to her and he says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed." And he begins to compliment her and talk about her beauty and her purity and about how she had kept herself for him and that she was shut off to anyone else and reserved only for Solomon. But here, she's given him her body, but she will not give him her heart. She's willing to give him everything but her heart. And how often is it that I'm willing to give out a tract and not spend an hour, my Lord, in prayer? How often is it that I can come to church and not even read my Bible? How often is it I can give him my body, but when he wants my heart, I can't even give it to him? It's a sure sign we're losing our love for the Lord. The reality of it is that no matter how many times we've given to God before, if the devil can just get us to slip one time, it'll be a continual downfall of just giving him a little less and a little less. To this point, she won't even get out of bed for him. How tragic it is, the reality of losing our love for the Lord. I want you to think about this, the reason she lost her love for the Lord. I mean, you think about how could she lose her love for Solomon, the king? I mean, everything she's had to say about him has been wonderful, has been awesome, has just every adjective she could think of to describe him. That's what this story has been. But now she can't even get out of bed to let him in the cold. The reasons, how did she lose her love for the Lord? I think first of all, the honeymoon. Because in chapter 5 and verse 1, that's where we're at. It's the end of the marriage feast. It's the end of that supper. And they spent so much time together that I think she thought, you know what? We spent all that time together yesterday. And the day before, today doesn't really matter. All those times that we spent this past week, we spent a whole week together, I can have an hour to myself alone. And how often is it that we think, just because we came to church Sunday, we don't have to go back Wednesday. And I served God yesterday, so today that kind of excuses me. We're losing our love for the Lord. She had lost her love for the Lord. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 8, when she heard his voice, preacher, she couldn't contain herself. She said, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. But now when he comes, she doesn't even want to get out of bed. She spent so much time with him that it's not really special anymore. I wonder, is our time with him still special? Man, those songs that we were singing about him tonight, that stirred my heart. There is a lovely name of Jesus, wonderful to hear. I love the name of Jesus. It still stirs my heart. No matter how much time I spent with him, I still want to hear him today. Hey, we had good services Sunday, but I don't want to miss it tonight. And we'll have good services tonight, but I don't want to miss it next Sunday. I don't want to lose my love for the Lord because of how familiar I've grown with him. I think the hour was a reason that she had lost her love for the Lord, because he didn't come at a great time. He didn't come at a time when we were leaping to go see him. No, he came when she was asleep at night. She was alone. She was asleep. She was awakened, and I think she was annoyed. One person said this, it is when we are asked to do unusual things that we find out the scope and the value of our Christian profession. Right. See, it's easy to serve God when everything's going good. And it's easy to serve God, man, on Sunday morning when we're excited and we've heard the choir singing. I think I probably pass out more tracks on Sunday than I do any other day of the week because I'm so excited and so pumped up about how good God is. But it's a lot harder to pass a track out Monday after work. Why? Because we it's a different hour. It's not an hour that we want to serve God in. It's an hour we want to ourselves. And she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. She heard him while she was asleep. Christ often wants to fellowship at inopportune times. I think the hour caused her to lose her love for the Lord. I think the harm caused her to lose her love for the Lord. Look at what she said in verse 3. We read it. She said, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile him? And you know what's interesting is over and over in these verses, we find references to her love. She said, the Bible says that he said, my sister, my love. So he loves her. Then in verse number 4, she calls him her beloved. She said, my beloved, put in his hand by the hole of the door. In verse 5, it says, I rose to open to my beloved. And so we know she does love him, but she doesn't love him enough. She loves him, but not enough to get up and let him in. And she loves him, but not enough that when he comes at an hour and she doesn't want him, she's willing to fellowship with him. She loves him, but not enough. And I wonder, do I love him enough to do whatever he asks? Do I love him enough to do wherever he wants me to go, I'll go. Yeah. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If not, I'd say I'm losing my love for the Lord. Yeah. The hour caused her to lose her love for the Lord. The harm. She didn't see him worth the trouble of getting clothed and getting clean. She was more worried about her cleanliness and his coldness. What a tragedy that is. Then you think about that, the privileges that she had. See, when Solomon met her, she was keeping a vineyard. She was out working in the field. The Bible said that she had been tanned from the sun because of her work, and now she's enjoying Solomon's blessings. She's enjoying the peace and the prosperity, and she's taking the blessings that Solomon has given her and saying, you know what? I'm happy with the blessings. I don't want you anymore. And how often is it that we take the blessings that God gives us and we just say, you know what? That's enough. I don't have to serve him today. I mean, everything's going good. God's blessed my family. I really don't have to give him everything today. She didn't see that he was worth it. But then I thought about, how did she lose her love for the Lord? I thought about it was because he was her husband. You say, that's obvious, and I know that. But she had gotten so used to him being her husband, I think she forgot that he was the king. Yeah. And I think so many times that we can get so used to God being with us that we forget how holy and how righteous and how wonderful and all-knowing he is. That if he's coming to see me, man, there must be a purpose. And if he wants me to do something, then he's got my best interest in mind. And if he wants me to do something, then it's obviously going to work out for my good and for his glory. But I forget about it because he's with me every day. And I forget about it because I can pick up and put down my Bible as I please. I forget about it because, oh, that's just my husband. That's not the king. Well, it would get the wrong mindset about who he is. What a tragedy that is. I thought about this, and I'm done. The results of it. What were the results of her losing her love for the Lord? Well, there was disquiet. And the Bible said in verse 4 that her bowels were moved for him. Her heart was stirred. Brother Sam, she came to the point where she realized that she had messed up and she wanted to find the Lord now. But she came to find him and he was gone. Her heart was stirred, but she missed the Lord. There was a discovery that she came to the door and he was already gone. There was nothing but darkness. There was defilement. As I thought about the very thing she made an issue about getting up to do, she had to do it anyways to come find him. She just did it later. And you know what? God has a way of getting us to do the things we really don't want to do. And we can do it when he asks and enjoy his blessing and enjoy his glory, or we can do it later and have to pay the penalty and the consequences for it, the defilement. I thought about the darkness, the distress, the discipline. The Bible said that they smote her and they wounded her. She couldn't find him, but the Bible said the watchman that went about the city found me. And you know what? When we get to the place where we say we don't want God, then there'll be something else that'll find us. Something else will come and take its place. There was desperation. The Bible said that she left in the middle of the night. She put a veil on. She ran out into the streets of Jerusalem trying to find Solomon. And it was that's an illogical move. It's an ill-advised move. That just doesn't make sense. But she was so desperate to find Solomon. She did things she probably would have never ordinarily done. She put herself in places she should have never been in because she was desperate to find Solomon. I thought about the disguise. The Bible said in verse number 9, the daughters of Jerusalem come to her and they say, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women?" When she acted this way, even the daughters of Jerusalem didn't know who she was. They didn't recognize her as the wife of the king. They didn't recognize her as Solomon's queen. And there is that when we tell God no, when we push him away, it disguises to the world who we really love and who we really serve. These had to come to her. They said, "Who is it? Who are you looking for?" Not her going and telling everybody about how wonderful Solomon was. You know what? When we turn God away, that's exactly what happens. Nobody gets told about Jesus if we're not in fellowship with him.
That's right.
She lost her love for the Lord. The results. And there was delight. Eventually, she finds him. In chapter 6, she comes to him and she found him. And the Bible said, he said that you'll find me when you seek me with her whole heart. She finally gave her heart back to God and began to seek him, but only after she lost her love for him. And all the things that she had to go through could have been avoided if she just got up when he asked. And I'm so afraid that so many times on a day-to-day basis, I lose my love for the Lord. I say one thing, and in my heart I do love him, but my actions say a completely different thing. And I wonder as they're coming tonight, as preacher comes to get the invitation, I wonder how.